Jethro Tull were among one of the defining bands of the progressive rock movement that emerged out of England in the late 1960s, fronted by the charismatic Ian Anderson on vocals and flute. Their breakthrough album, Stand Up, was released in 1969, 50 years ago this year. The band is now back on the road. We'll play two concerts in Ireland at the end of this month. Jim Lockhart, fellow flautist to Ian Anderson and indeed fellow progressive rock icon dating back to his days with Horselips, has been looking at the legacy of Jethro Tull. We'll talk about that in a minute, but let's have a listen to some of it first. Reasons for Waiting.
And the men stays clear with a song that you hear. If I can but make the words awake the feeling.
Jethro Tull and Reasons for Waiting, taken from the album Stand Up, released by Jethro Tull in 1969. Fans of the band have the opportunity to see them later this month in Dublin and Cork. But with me right now in studio, Jim Lockhart is here with me to celebrate their legacy. Will you be going to Cork?
I hope to.
When did you first see them? When did Jethro Tull, the band, first come across your radar?
I remember it so clearly, and it's just lovely to hear that again, to hear that the percussion on the Hammond coming in.
You feel as if you're in the 1960s, 70s immediately,
gorgeous,
don't
but
you?
But the quality, the sound of it's just lovely.
So warm.
But yeah, the first time they swam into my radar, I was in Slattery's in Terranure, myself and Devlin, because we were hanging around, and Jolyon Jackson and Brian Masterson and Roger Doyle were Jazz Therapy, and they were playing that night. And it's a great gig. And then they did Bouret, and Joel played it on a recorder, on like, a tenor recorder, and it completely blew me away. I hadn't come across Tull at all before.
Were you playing flute at that time?
No, I was playing tin whistle. I'd started playing tin whistle when I was about like 14 or something like that. I was playing piano from like 10 or something, and then I picked up tin whistle. But I hadn't picked up a flute at that stage. No, that was a little bit.
How would you describe the 60s scene in England? The 60s scene that Jethro Tull were moving into.
Well, they kind of grew out of a very state of flux, because there were musicians moving in and out of bands, and there was like the likes of Graham Bond and Alexis Corner and John Mayall, famously, who were running bands, and Ginger Baker and Georgie Fame and people like that, and then Clapton were moving. You know, everybody was in everybody else's band, and so they grew out of that. And the way that sort of Fleetwood Mac, Peter Green's Fleetwood Mac, kind of grew out of that as well. They grew out of that kind of English bluesy kind of thing, but they really ditched. They didn't ditch, they kind of outgrew their blues background after this was the first album, and it really was, as he said later, it was that was what had been going before. So he reckoned that Stand Up was the first real Jethro Tull album.
The flute is so important, isn't it? Yeah. Ian Anderson as the front man, flute and singer. How different did that make their sound from everything else that was going on?
Totally, because, well, it wasn't just that made it different, but I think the quintessential thing about Tull is their utter Englishness, and they had that acoustic guitar thing, because looking back on it now, I think their real spiritual forebears were Pentangle and the Bert Jansch and John Renburn acoustic guitars, and Anderson acknowledges that, and Roy Harper is kind of where he's most influenced by. He absorbed, I think, a lot of that English folkiness and also English oddballness, because he's like not a Robert Plant or a Rod Stewart type rock singer. He's a very odd voice.
And it seems a big jump from the kind of almost pastoral sound that you have there into prog rock. Was it a big jump? Because are they kind of the daddies of prog rock in the late 60s, early 70s?
They started off, I mean, that was prog before it was prog. And just to come back to what you were saying about the flute, I didn't get that. I forgot what I was supposed to be saying. Flute and sax were kind of completely in for a dig at that stage. I mean, they would have been okay in a jazz context, and the fact that he picked up on flute was just really an odd thing to do. And yes, they then proceeded by doing a couple of concept albums and stuff, and just by being a bit more thoughtful about how they wrote lyrics and how they put chord sequences together. And the thing about those kind of proggy bands was that they tended to be, as producer said to us one time, he said, could you try and sound a little bit less white? And so they tended to sound pretty white and didn't kind of swing
and
too
was,
much.
And was there a kind of, did they manage to do it without a way that was being self-indulgent? Because sometimes there is, you know, the playing the guitar and playing some little figure on the guitar with your head buried down in it. And that's what they talk about, navel gazing. That's what the guitarist is doing.
I know, prog totally went up its own bum then towards the end of the 70s. But I think certainly in the first half of the 70s, what Tull were doing, and they were mixing their influences, like they were listening to rock. They were blending heavy rock and psychedelic stuff and folky stuff and a bit of jazz and a bit of classical. I mean, Bure being the ultimate example of the classical element. And I don't think that any of it kind of nothing was discordant. I mean, I think it all harmonized into an overall kind of band sound.
There may be children like me who were little children when Jethro Tull were around, and when they first heard of Jethro Tull, said, "Who's he?" instead of "Who's the band?" There was an actual Jethro Tull.
There was an actual Jethro Tull who was a kind of an agricultural revolutionary who perfected, I believe, a horse-drawn seed drill around about 1700. But the reason they were called Jethro Tull was because they were such a crap band when they started off that they never got brought back anywhere. And so they had to keep making up new names for the band every week. And Anderson said, at one stage, the only way he could tell if which band on a concert bill was his was if he didn't recognise the name. And somebody in the office just picked out the name Jethro Tull, and that's how they became Jethro Tull.
Let's finish up by listening to a little bit of Living in the Past. Why is this so important within their oeuvre?
It's one of those kind of offbeat, off-time syncopated riffs, and the lyrics. His lyrics were always wonderful, great stuff, and really just thoughtful. Nothing cliched about them.
By the way, I'll come back to you just when I finish up this piece. The minute I put up the microphone, you want to tell me more. You saw them 10 years ago, Jim Lockhart.
It might be more down at the point. Myself and Barry, yet again.
Barry Devlin,
my wife went down and somebody shouted across, Barry, you weren't here last week for a yes. And so Barry laughed and looked around and said, God, you know, there's nobody here under 50. And I said, I know, there's a couple of 30-year-olds over there. Look, and my wife said, yeah, but they're with their parents.
Yeah, time moves on. But Horslips, nevertheless, are still with us and going hard and strong. You're coming up.
We're in the middle of yet another revival. We're going to be playing. We've been doing a good few gigs this year, and we're finishing up, almost finishing up in Fela on Thursday, on Friday rather, in Semple Stadium, as part of Fela Trip to Tip. That's going to be a bit of fun.
And when is that?
That's Friday. This Friday.
Friday. Well, there you go. People will go to Jethro Tull in Cork Opera House on Wednesday. Can stop off in Fela on the way home on Friday if they're coming back up the country. Mind you, Jethro Tull are in the National Concert Hall in Dublin on Thursday. So those who visit from Cork can then go into Fela on Friday night.
Very diplomatically done.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, handled.
I think it's called I'll Put Down the Spade Now and Stop Digging. That's Jim Lockhart speaking to us about all of those gigs.